Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the St. Louis Collaborative Family Law Association podcast, where attorneys, mental health, and financial professionals talk about divorce and other family law matters. CFLA is a network of professionals committed to providing a respectful, supportive, and non-adversarial process to resolve disputes and family matters.
Hello and welcome to the Collaborative Family Law Association podcast. Today we are recording episode 2. Our topic today is uncontested divorce versus collaborative divorce. And we have an amazing guest with us today. It is Kirk Stange from the Stange Law Firm. He is a family law attorney and mediator and the founding partner of the Stange Law Firm in St. Louis. He is also a member of the Collaborative Family Law Association here in St. Louis. I am your host today. My name is Jennifer Wrench. I am also a family law attorney and mediator in the St. Louis area. So I want to welcome our guest, Kirk. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So for the people who don't know you, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I think you covered some of it, but I'm a family law attorney. I'm also a mediator and also trained in collaborative law, and I'm a founding partner of a law firm in St. Louis known as Stange Law Firm, and we now have offices throughout Missouri and Illinois.
Well, I certainly appreciate you joining us today. We're going to learn some about uncontested divorces and collaborative divorces, so let's get right to it. So you handle a variety of divorce cases, and some of the clients that come to you, I bet, ask you for help with an uncontested matter. Could you tell us what an uncontested divorce is?
Absolutely. In a technical sense, an uncontested divorce is where both parties agree that they're going to be getting divorced. I mean, in some cases, it's rare, but in some cases, one party might want a divorce and the other party might not. But from a technical standpoint, an uncontested divorce is where both parties want it. And then past that, what's tough about a lot of divorce cases is that parties then, to really complete an uncontested divorce, have to agree on all the issues that are part of their case. So take property and debt division, child custody, child support, spousal support, how attorney fees are going to get paid. In a truly uncontested divorce, the parties agree on all of those issues, and they also agree that they're going to be getting divorced. And so that, in a general sense, is what an uncontested divorce is.
Okay, so you can help somebody who finds himself in that situation and maybe wants an uncontested divorce, but you also offer other options to help clients divorce, and one of those other options is collaborative divorce, correct?
Correct.
So what's a collaborative divorce?
Sure. Here's where I think collaborative divorce is helpful, and I think a lot of parties confuse the terms uncontested divorce and collaborative divorce, and I think they sometimes think it's synonymous, like it's the exact same thing. But the dilemma for a lot of individuals is this, is that they both agree that the marriage is broken, irretrievably broken, and that they're going to be getting divorced. But for a lot of parties, they disagree on some issues. So could be child custody, could be child support, spousal support, or property and debt division. But there's some issues out there where the parties don't agree on what the resolution would be. And that's where collaborative divorce, from my vantage point, can be particularly helpful, because if you got two parties, they both want to get divorced, but they disagree on some items, the collaborative process can be really helpful for them in terms of working through those issues to try to come to a resolution. That way they can have a divorce that, you know, doesn't require a trial, doesn't require contentious court proceedings. And so that's where I think collaborative divorce can be really helpful for parties that both want a divorce but don't agree on everything.
Right, yes, I agree with you. So what you're saying, though, is so an uncontested divorce is not the same thing as a collaborative divorce. So what are some of the differences between the two?
Well, I mean, it's two distinct processes. I mean, generally when folks are doing an uncontested divorce, again, and I think in a general sense, you know, they've got to agree on everything. So in a lot of those cases, the parties, you know, they go to attorneys, they both agree that they're going to be getting divorced, they agree on all the nitty-gritty fine details of a divorce case. Like I said, from the property and debt division to the child custody to the child support to the spousal support, all the way down to these little minutiae, which turn out to be big deals in some cases, like tax deductions, drop-off, pick-up exchanges, daycare, who's paying college. I mean, what's tough for a lot of people is that one or two of these issues can hang up a lot of their cases and hang up an uncontested divorce. So in a collaborative divorce, the parties each have an attorney that has received training in collaborative divorce, and through sessions that take place between the parties and their attorneys, and then different professionals can be brought into the process, like a divorce coach who can help the parties just work on their communication, communicating in a way that is really in the spirit of settlement. And then if there's complex financial issues, you can bring in a financial neutral who can come in and help the parties with financial issues. Maybe sometimes there needs to be an appraisal. Maybe there's some tax considerations. Maybe they just need help spreadsheeting assets to see how everything would break down. And so financial neutrals can be helpful. And then when you get into custody issues, you know, some folks have complex issues with their kids. Maybe there's a special needs child. Maybe the parties have concerns about the way a particular child is just really reacting to the divorce of their parents. A child custody professional can come in and help the parties work through these issues. So the collaborative process is great because you have parties that both want to get divorced, they have some issues they disagree on, versus going to court, litigating a case. They're able to sit down in a room, hopefully with these professionals, and try to come to amicable resolutions through this collaborative process.
So really what you're talking about is there are some advantages of having particular professionals help, and those particular professionals can help through the collaborative process, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because in the end of the day, you know, lots of folks, I mean, they want an amicable resolution. They want the divorce to be peaceful. They don't want to be in court litigating a case, but they just don't know how to bridge the gaps between their different viewpoints. And let's face it, a lot of parties, you know, if they were able to agree and compromise, they might not be getting divorced in the first place. And so having these professionals come into the room with them to help them reach an agreement on some of these outstanding issues is really a true benefit, and can really keep parties outside of the courtroom, where emotions come into play and then there's hard feelings at the conclusion of the divorce. And so, right, these professionals can really, really help parties come up with good, creative solutions that can result in a really peaceful and amicable resolution to divorce.
Right. Well, that, you know, that does sound like a good option for some people. And I'm wondering if you can tell us, for people who are considering the divorce and considering a divorce process and what that might look like, how does the collaborative process work?
Well, I mean, the beauty of it is parties can, in a lot of ways, dictate the pace themselves. And so, I mean, generally what you're talking about is meetings taking place between the collaborative attorneys. So husband, wife, each have an attorney trained in collaborative law, and meetings are set up. And the parties really discuss and work through the issues that are out there. So if, let's say, they disagree on the tax deduction, who's going to get the tax deduction? You can have meetings. Sit down, you can talk about it, you can bring in the financial neutral who can really help explain, you know, how much that deduction might be worth. I mean, you name the issue, but the beauty of the collaborative process is versus being in court where the court has deadlines and they're setting court dates and a case is moving toward a trial, here the parties can sort of dictate the pace, they can set meetings that work for their schedule, they're outside the courthouse in a more private setting. And the parties are hopefully able to talk and work through these issues. And ultimately, you know, if they can, then they can do an uncontested divorce where you come into court and conclude the case without a trial or a hearing, and you can conclude the divorce case that way. And that's really the hope. Ultimately, if the parties aren't able to do that, then the parties end up hiring a different attorney to litigate the case. If there's issues that can't be resolved. But the hope in the collaborative process is that by putting people in the same room, getting people talking in good faith, resolutions can be reached.
Right. So really what you're talking about is a process that can help the clients resolve their differences in an agreeable way, and then when they come out of it, they can walk through the legal process of a divorce as an uncontested divorce, right?
Right, that's the goal and that's the hope. And again, I think that's what makes uncontested divorce a little bit more difficult than a lot of people think. I think a lot of folks think, you know, we both want a divorce, we both agree the marriage isn't working, And so it's just going to be easy. What gets to be tough for a lot of parties is working through all those details I was talking about. In other words, the devil's in the details, and one or two issues can hang up a lot of these cases. And so this is where a lot of parties who want an uncontested divorce really end up with litigated proceedings because they can't compromise on certain issues. And the hope is, in collaborative divorces, you get folks together through the use of these professionals and these meetings and without the pressure of being in a courthouse under the gun, so to speak, trying to resolve the case, that the parties are able to resolve this stuff. And then, right, ultimately, they're able to get to a day when they can resolve their case peacefully and amicably without having to litigate it in court.
Yeah, I agree. It is tough when you have a client that's sitting in front of you saying, I want an uncontested divorce, but they're kind of resistant to realizing that there's details that need to be walked through or figured out before a truly uncontested divorce can take place. So I wonder, what is your view on whether the collaborative process, the collaborative divorce process is more thorough than a typical uncontested divorce, where maybe somebody has not gone through that thoughtful process of figuring out the fine details?
Yeah, I mean, obviously every situation is different, and different attorneys might handle it differently, so I'm generalizing to an extent. But my worry, at least in some cases, is if you're just doing this, quote, uncontested divorce, and you're just trying to put paperwork together quick and fast, and it's like this speed race where you're trying to rush people through the process in order to get an agreement to get the case done, I worry that in a lot of those cases, parties end up with buyer's remorse later, where little details were overlooked or not given enough consideration. And then the worry is that these folks end up back in court on motions to modify or motions for contempt because the agreement wasn't thorough in the first place. So, right, I think one of the real distinct advantages of the collaborative process is, again, people aren't under the gun. They don't have to rush and make snap decisions that maybe they will later regret. Parties are also able to have privacy. They're in a private office setting generally. They're not in a courthouse, which can be, I think, sort of embarrassing or emotionally tolling on some of the parties as well. And I think that can allow folks to be more patient. And then I think having the help of these professionals is just enormously beneficial. I mean, having somebody actually crunch numbers, look at the finances, can be enormously helpful in terms of having a settlement that actually makes sense, that's fair and equitable. And then same with the child custody professionals who can help put together a parenting plan or a custody schedule that'll really work for the parties, and that isn't just something that's half-baked and put together fast. And then lastly, I'd say with these divorce coaches, I think this is so helpful because parties oftentimes say things that irritate the other party, that maybe upset the other party to divorce, and maybe they do it unknowingly. They're not doing it on purpose. But oftentimes parties who both want to settle, and they try to do this uncontested, quick, fast thing, and they communicate, they end up making it worse, and they end up upsetting each other. So a divorce coach can really help the parties sort of smooth the rough edges in terms of how they communicate, help keep the emotions in check, and that can really lead to cases settling versus uncontested cases where sometimes the process ends up breaking down just because people's feelings get hurt or they get upset.
Well, and that's true, and that raises a really good point on maybe if a divorce coach is involved, that negotiations won't stall, which kind of goes to, begs the question, if collaborative divorce and having another professional such as a divorce coach involved, can that potentially save clients money and time in the long run?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can because, again, truth be told, if parties are able to communicate well, if they're able to compromise with each other, they might not be getting divorced in the first place. And so from my vantage point in helping parties through divorces through the years, that a lot of parties have communication difficulties. They just don't communicate well. Both parties will say things in a way that will upset the other party, sort of like kicking sand in their eye. And it just makes things worse. And so you'll have some of these cases where both the parties want to get divorced, but throughout the process they upset each other, they anger each other, and then that leads to a case that probably should settle, not settling. And then, from there, obviously, there's these long-term repercussions, right? I mean, at some point, if parties have kids and they're getting divorced, their kids are going to get married. You know, their kids at some point will have graduations and grandkids and all these different events. And for parties, you know, they're going to want to be able to at least go to these events and be cordial to each other. And so I just think the collaborative process is totally worth it. And I would just say you get what you pay for in life oftentimes. And I think, you know, some parties can be a penny wise and a pound foolish. It's like they're trying to save money in the divorce process, but they end up spending a whole lot more in the long run when their relationship is just totally demolished with their ex-spouse. And so, one, you know, for some parties, maybe you know, there's some cost there, but you get what you pay for, and you probably save money in the long run by not having to go back to court, which would be the hope, and at least be able to attend all these family events down the line, and it'd be amicable. But for other parties, I would just say flat out, you know, there might be some cost involved in the collaborative process, but for a lot of individuals, it's going to be less expensive than a contested trial. Some divorces get appealed, you know, and then the parties are doing modifications and contempts and family access motions and you name it. So I think it can be cost-saving for a lot of individuals, but I just think even past that, you know, just keep in mind, you know, you get what you pay for. And saving a buck today isn't worth it if it costs you $10 in the future. And so
right.
there's an element to getting it done right.
Right, and you certainly highlighted some truly economic costs, but, you know, emotional costs as well, and time and saving of maybe a co-parent relationship or something down the road is certainly worth it if that's your situation. So, Kirk, I really appreciate you joining us today to talk about uncontested divorces and the difference between uncontested divorces and collaborative divorces. Thank you very much for joining us and sharing your knowledge with us.
Sure, thank you.
Not a problem. And I want to thank everyone for listening to our Collaborative Family Law Association podcast. To contact our guest or for any more information, please visit stlewiscollaborativelaw.com. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the St. Louis Family Law Association podcast. The information given in this episode is general in nature and may not apply to your particular situation. The information given is not meant to serve as legal advice. If you need legal advice, you may need to see a lawyer in your own jurisdiction. The choice of an attorney is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements. Visit stlewiscollaborativelaw.com for more information about this topic or to contact a collaborative family law professional today.